Well, we begin a new series this morning, Love Your Neighbor. I was thinking God's strategy for building the kingdom of God is brilliant. See if you agree. Every child of God, every person who has experienced the grace of God in his or her own life is now a messenger of the good news. That through Jesus, we can live a new life and be reconciled to God. Paul calls us agents of reconciliation. Not just me, not just the elders of the church, but all of us. We are agents of reconciliation. Don't you think that's a brilliant idea? I do. Because we all have neighbors, right? We have people who live near us. If we live out in the country, our neighbors could be a mile away, but they're still our neighbors, right? We have people that we work with. We have people we know in the community. Maybe they work out at our gym, or maybe they're part of our book club. Some of my neighbors are the volunteers that I work with at the Springville Center for the Arts. We all have neighbors. So the question we are asking is, how are we doing at our neighboring? Are we building trust with them? Are our lives credible, attractive? Do they even see that we are different in a positive way? Do they perceive us as loving? Do they see joy in our lives? Do they see that we experience peace even in a troubled world? Do they perceive us as fun? Do they see us as fun? Do we take a sincere interest in them? Now, I want to be candid and say my report card is not straight A's. Got some A's, I got some B's, I got some C's. I may even have a few F's. How about you? The basis of this series is found in the life and teaching of our Lord Jesus. We sometimes call him the Good Shepherd, and he is, but maybe we could call him the Good Neighbor, because I think he is. He took a sincere interest in his neighbors, which included a lot of really interesting people, as we'll see in the coming weeks. Jesus prayed for them and with them. He listened to them. He ate with them. Pharisees and tax collectors, the religious and the irreligious. He served them by feeding them, healing them, teaching them, and encouraging them. And he told them stories that seemed really simple at the beginning, and then like a week later, they were still thinking about those simple stories, and they were still bothering them in a good way, like an explosion in your mind. Jesus was a really good neighbor, and he calls us to be good neighbors. We represent him. So, as Lynn already read for us, our text is in Luke chapter 10, but we're going to refer to it again. It probably will not do you permanent harm to hear the Word of God read twice. At least we're willing to risk it. We're in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and in the second part, I'm going to ask for your help. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" That's called the rabbinic method. It's a way of teaching that when asked a question, the teacher responds with a question, a question with a question. And the beauty of that is then that the student becomes a participant, an active participant in the learning process. And Jesus was a master at it. So the man answered his own question, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right. Jesus told him, you already knew the answer. Do this and you will live. God, Jesus is telling us, this is the great commandment, to love God with everything you have and love your neighbor as yourself. The great commandment. It's so important. Verse 29, the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, oh, and who is my neighbor? Here's a technicality. Who really is my neighbor? He wants to define it himself. He wants to choose the person that he can love and care for. So he's looking for a loophole. And if we're honest, many of us do something similar. And we excuse ourselves from the calling to both know and love our neighbors. So the conversation continues in verse 29. Now, in a few moments, we're going to be introduced to three people who are walking by the scene. And so when I get to the first one, the priest, I'm going to pause and you're going to say, yay, because surely he's going to do something good. And then the second person is the temple assistant, and I'll pause again and you will say, yay, he's our guy, yay. And when I get to the third person, you see, they hated the Samaritans. They were the bad guys. They wore the black cowboy hats. So when I get to the third person, the despised Samaritan, I'm going to pause, and you are going to, cum expression, with expression, say, boo. Are you ready? We'll see. Jesus replied with a story. I love it. He's such a great communicator because, what's this, 2,000 years later? We're still telling this very simple story? And it's still messing with us in a good way? A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, twisty, windy road, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. This isn't what's supposed to happen. A temple assistant. This is going to work out well. Walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. What in the world? They knew the law in and out. They knew that you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. But they didn't. And then a despised Samaritan came along. Surely he won't do the right thing. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine, and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey. That must have been interesting. That must have been really interesting. The guy was half dead. And took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I will pay you next time I'm there. Now, this is the payoff. Which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. And the man replied, I hate to say it, but the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus said, yep, now go do the same. I've heard this story many times, but every time I hear it, I'm struck by the actions of the Samaritan. He was on his way somewhere. He had an appointment to keep. He had tasks to complete. But for whatever reason, when he saw the man lying there, it moved him to act. Maybe it was as simple as thinking, if that was me, I would want somebody, I would need somebody to help me. And so he did. Or maybe he thought to himself, If I don't help, who will? If I don't help, who will? This is love in action. It's not a sentiment. It's earthy. It's messy. It's risky. Bandaging someone's wounds is a messy process. Getting the man up on the donkey when he was half dead must have been very interesting. Probably was no help at all. Walking the donkey down that twisty, windy road must have taken quite a bit of time. Covering the man's expenses, a total stranger, cost him something, time and money. We don't have to pray about loving our neighbor, do we? God wants us all to love our neighbors. There's nothing greater that we can do. Love your neighbors. So, who are your neighbors? Who are your neighbors? I recently read a book that my wife recommended called Wait Till Next Year, written by Doris Kearns Goodwin. She tells a story. It's set in Long Island in the early 1950s. She's in this little community, and she can tell you house by house who is a Dodgers fan, who's a Giants fan, and who's a Yankees fan, because there were all three teams in New York City at that time. And she was a rabid Brooklyn Dodgers fan. But what really struck me is how she described her neighborhood growing up. They knew every family, right? And they knew about them. And they trusted each other. And in the morning, the kids in the summertime were free to run around the neighborhood. And they were in and out of everybody's houses. And they didn't always agree about things, but they had a relationship with each other. And when the first family on the block got a television, everybody, kids and adults, went over to watch the television. It was just a real neighborhood, and they were all good neighbors. Are things like that anymore? Did you notice? I thought it was funny. Did you notice on the bumper for the new series, the overview of the neighborhood, that everybody had a fence? That's funny, right? We can drive home, hit the remote on our garage door opener, and I have one, and we can pull in the garage, close the garage door opener, get out of our car, and never see a neighbor. We can live next door to them and not know them. Funny story, last summer, we live on a hill in Springville, and we had a flash flood. And went over to help our elderly neighbor. What's her name again? No, just kidding. And the guy in the corner, Kevin, came over and was helping me clean the water out of our neighbor's garage, out of Peggy's garage. And I just, my mom taught me how to do this. Like, you guys know each other, right? Because they both have lived there for like 10, 12 years. Never met. Like, Peggy, this is Kevin. Kevin, this is Peggy. And it took a flash flood to bring us together. So how are we doing loving our neighbors? Do we even know who they are? I think to be good neighbors, we need to be intentional. It's just so easy to stay inside, to watch TV and mind our own business. And Paul does say, you know, win the respect of outsiders. Take care of your own business. That's a good thing to do, but we need to go beyond that, because the good news that we have experienced through Jesus Christ needs to get out there. It needs to be shared, and we want to share it. And we share it by building bridges of trust and love. On the reverse side of your outline, I hope you got one as you came in, there is a mnemonic, something to help us with this. It's called BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. And of course, each letter stands for something. I'll just go through them with you quickly. B stands for begin with prayer. L stands for listen to them. E stands for eat with them. S stands for serve them. And the final S stands for share your story in a very simple way. So today we want to talk about the first two letters, B and L, begin with prayer. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for them by name. On the way out this morning, we have little orange refrigerator magnets that you can put as a reminder for you to pray for your neighbors. I asked if we could write on them with erasable marker, and they said, I don't know. So I can't vouch for that, but maybe you could use a post-it, or I don't know. But to pray for your neighbors, and again, it could be somebody at work, could be somebody in your book club, somebody that you've met at the gym, could be your physical neighbors, it could be people that you interact with. And if you don't know your neighbors' names, here is a place to begin, right? Because we want to call them by name. We want to go beyond like, hello, strange person, I don't know your name. Hi. To, hey, Dennis, good to see you. To, Dennis, how's it going? To, hey, Dennis, there's something in my garage I need help with. Could you give me a hand for just a minute? To, hey, Dennis, I saw that your adult daughter moved back home again. How's that going? Do you see how the relationship has developed? We know not only who they are and something about their lives, but something about the relational dynamics of their lives. And we take a sincere interest in them. So if you don't know your neighbors, here's just a little, just so it's not too weird. Hi, I'm John. Now, here's the next part, because I'm on the wrong side of 60. You got to write it down, right? This is part of why we have Name Tag Sunday, because if you tell me your name, wow, there it goes. It's up in a cloud somewhere. It's not in there. But if I write it down, and if I know a little bit about you, I have a chance to remember it. So in our blackboard at home, like a new couple just moved into the area, like last year sometime, we have Nicole and Mike and their dog. Now, this sounds dumb, right? I know the name of their dog, but people like it, right? When you not only know their name, but the name of their children and even the name of their dog, right? So that if my dog attacks their dog, I know, you know. Thankfully, my dog is afraid of the people, but likes the other dogs. So begin with prayer. Pray for them. We have some neighbors that are right next door. I mean, our decks are like 20 feet apart. We see them all the time, and they've got some things going on in their lives. Some health issues for him, though. He's younger than I am. Pray for them. Pray for them, and something happens, right? You begin to care about them. The second one is listen. Listen to them. Start out with safe subjects. Talk about the weather, not politics. Did I say not politics? Talk about the weather, not politics. Say something about their yard or their flowers or keep it light and build trust over time. Because this is what I think. I honestly believe that we have been placed in our neighborhood, in our network, in our family at this specific time in history, at this specific address, for the specific purpose of loving our neighbors so that they could experience God's love through us. You are right where you need to be. I'm right where I need to be for a purpose. Didn't I tell you that God's plan is brilliant? Right? It's not, you're not just sending me out into the world to represent Jesus. We're all sent out into the world to represent Jesus. And our message is this: I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So, I love that we're celebrating communion today. Come to the table. Isn't that what we're praying for? That our friends, our family members, our neighbors would come to the table of the Lord, would experience Christ working in their lives. It's not just us working on it. We're partnering with the Holy Spirit. So I want to give you just a few moments, if you have something to write on, who's, like, they're not, this is not a project, but who are the people that you care about and that you're going to start praying for, looking for opportunities to build a relationship with them? So let's take a moment and get started on that. Our gracious Father, thank you for including us in what you want to do. That the news of Jesus Christ would not only be proclaimed, but lived out, incarnate, visible. Forgive us for times when we've not represented you well. And help us truly be good neighbors. We pray in the name of our really good neighbor, Jesus. Amen.